Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight, and hope you'll be able to stick with us here on this time change Sunday night. I hope you're like me, but I hate when we have to change the clocks like this. I wish we'd keep it just one way or the other. I'd be happy to stick with standard time all year round. I knew somebody who used to always try and tell me that in the spring, you know, that when we move the clocks forward an hour, we're gaining an hour. And I would say, yes, but I'm losing an hour of sleep. And he would say, no, but you're gaining an hour. I would say, well, we're moving ahead an hour. All I know is when I go to bed and I set my clock an hour ahead, when I wake up in the morning, I'm waking up an hour earlier physically. And so it's at least compared to what I feel like. So tonight, it should be 9 o'clock right now before we move the clocks forward. And we're waking up an hour later. I'm sorry, that's what he was getting at is, oh, you're waking up later. I said, but I'm losing an hour. I went from, you know, it's 2 in the morning. And then the next thing you know, it's 3 in the morning, and you didn't wait 60 minutes to get there. Or 1 in the morning, next thing you know, it's 2 in the morning, and you didn't wait 60 minutes to get there. You lost an hour, no matter how you look at it. You lost an hour. And I don't like that. I spent 4 years in the Samoan Islands as a missionary, and we never changed the clock. That was great. That was one of the best things down there. You didn't have to change the clock. Well, there's some places around states where you don't change clocks either. Maybe one day. I keep hearing every once in a while that down in Columbus, there are bills put forward every once in a while for consideration to end time change in Ohio, keep us either on standard or savings time year-round. And even in the national level, there's occasionally bills put forward, and nobody seems to come through with it yet. I think we had, 4 weeks or something, or 4 weeks, that's a time change, 4 months, I think, on standard time, so we're barely on it as it is. It was like mid-November, we moved the clocks back an hour, and then we just now hear it's basically mid-March, and we moved them forward an hour, so we had half of November, all of December, January, and February, and then not quite half of March. That's I guess that works out about 4 months. Why not keep it the same time all the time? One thing I know when I was growing up, you know, at a small farm, we had dairy goats, and the goats didn't change their clocks. You know, we might have changed our clocks, but the goats didn't change their clocks. They still wanted to be milked at the same time and fed at the same time. They didn't care what your clock said. They got used to their time. And so it's really difficult for people you know, who are dealing with animals and things like that. But I hope you're awake, and I hope you're able to get through things. And my bleary eyes when I woke up this morning, and I pulled back the curtain a little bit, and I thought, I'm still asleep. And we had an inch of snow outside, snow coming down steadily. And so winter was back today. And tomorrow, my understanding is we'll be back in spring, and summer scheduled for later this week. And who knows, next week we might be back in winter again. But this is March, and it's the month of up and down temperatures. And we always get a snow during March. It seems like there's always a good snow during March. And what was it? I think just a little over a week ago, heard the spring peepers, the little early spring frogs that come out, start peeping in the early parts of spring. I heard them. And I remember my dad said that it was either his dad or his grandfather used to always say, when you hear the spring peepers, you expect 3 more freezes. So hopefully this counts as at least one of those freezes, and hopefully the groundhog was correct back on Groundhog's Day at the beginning of February, that we're having an early spring. So that would be nice. That would be nice. But in the meanwhile, I hope you're warm. Hope you're inside. Don't have to be out on the roads. Actually, the roads were not bad, but it is windy out there, and there's some places there's a lot of blowing snow blowing around, And it was, I think when I came into the studios tonight, it was 35 degrees on my car thermometer, but it was windy. So snow is on the ground, it's blowing around quite a bit. So if you do have to be out there, keep your hands on the steering wheel as you're driving down the roads. And if you don't have to be out there, it's good to be able to stay home and hopefully you can listen to us tonight. And as I said, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. Check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And they got a number of bits of things on there. You can listen to past programs. You can listen to our Friday afternoon program. We have a half-hour Friday afternoon program every Friday at 1:30 to 2 o'clock. And you can listen to both hours of our Sunday night program. We're on, of course, every Sunday night from 10 o'clock until midnight. And we have them listed as hour one and hour two on our website, hour one being the 10 o'clock hour and hour two the 11 o'clock hour. So that's all available at livewithpastoral.com. And there's a number of articles and things that I have that I've written there that you can find at livewithpastoral.com, and some other things that I have on there from time to time. And you can link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor, and you can find out more about our church there. And I'm just going to mention that we have coming up 1 week from today, we have coming up what we call our Pi Day Fellowship. And other than a great excuse to eat pie, which I mean, I don't know that we need an excuse to eat pie, but we started this some years ago. We had a gentleman come to our Friday night Bible study, came one Friday night, and he had some pies. And we thought, wow, that's kind of nice. Any particular reason? He said, it's Pi Day. And I said, Pi Day? What do you mean? He said, well, it's International Pi Day. It was March, and it was March the 15th. Or I'm sorry, March the 14th, and if you know what pi is, you know, like the ratio that we use, or the decimal that we use for finding out a lot of important stuff like pi r squared, things like that. Well, pi, first two decimal places, it's 3.14. So March the 14th is known as International Pi Day, P-I, not P-I-E. And so we just thought it was a neat thing. Maybe it's a geeky thing to do, but we thought it was kind of fun. And so we started some years back then after that, having on a Sunday around Pi Day, or around March 14th, we would have a Sunday that we would have a Pi Day Fellowship. And so this Sunday, a week from today, the 17th is our annual Pi Day Fellowship this year. Our typical menu is we fix a big thing of Sloppy Joe because they're round, you know, the buns, they're round. And we usually have salad and a bunch of stuff and pies, plenty of pies. And it's always a lot of fun. And so if you're looking at visiting the Richfield Bible Baptist Church sometime, let me encourage you to take advantage of Pi Day to come out to this coming Sunday, March the 17th, and join us during our morning service at 11 o'clock, and stay for our Pi Day Fellowship afterwards. We'd love to have you come out. And you can go online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. There you can link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And you can find out more about us, the radio program here, me, and our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and Pi Day. So we'd love to have you visit. Well, with all of that, let's go ahead and open our program in a word of prayer before we go on much further. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be on the air today. We just thank you so much for your blessing and watch care over us, Lord. Thank you for giving us not only a good day today, but certainly reason to celebrate and reason to enjoy and just to be rejoicing in all that you've done for us. Lord, we pray that you would bless the program tonight. Help us be a blessing to somebody this evening. Help us appoint people that are searching to Christ, and then also help us to encourage believers in their walk with you, and in all things, help us to lift up and glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, a lot of things to talk about tonight, but I think we're going to start the program talking about what you want to talk about. And again, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And as she always manages to do, we've got Nancy calling in here this evening. And Nancy, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call.
Yeah. Now, I got to say, before you ask your question, inquiring minds want to know, what's your secret for getting on first most every Sunday night?
Because I call first.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I couldn't have said it better. Thank you, Nancy.
Very, very tricky and very mysterious.
Yes, it is. So, I appreciate that.
Yes, well, you know, I was just thinking about your Pi Day, mm-hmm. March 17th. So are you all going to all wear green? Because it's also St. Patrick's Day.
Now I have to point something out. I have to point something out. I remember one time when I was in school, I think I was in junior high school. I think I was past grade school, but I wasn't quite in high school yet. And St. Patrick's Day was coming up, and I think I had a green shirt or something on. And I remember my dad saying, you know, if your grandfather was alive right now, he would tell you that his dad, which would be my dad's grandfather, my great-grandfather, he'd say that his dad used to say, you can never wear green on St. Patrick's Day. I said, why? He said, because we're not Catholics. In Ireland, green was the color that the Catholics wore. And he said, and my great-grandfather went to the original Richfield Bible Baptist Church. I pastor Richfield Bible Baptist Church. It's kind of interesting. My dad's cousin was a member of the original Richfield Bible Baptist Church. He was a member of the second Richfield Baptist Church. And he was a charter member of the current Richfield Baptist Church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church that I pastor. And so that would have been my dad's cousin's grandfather as well. And he said, because we're not Catholic, we wear orange. And see, he was, the reason was, he said, the Protestants wear orange. Well, see, he was wrong in that, too, even though I'm fairly confident from what I heard that I'll see my great-grandfather in heaven. Baptists are not Protestant. They're not Catholic. Baptists have existed since the first century, and you can chart that. In fact, if you get your Bible and you see Claudia and Pudens and Linus, let me think just here. And I don't want to take away from your question there, but here at the end of I just read this, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 21, do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. What a lot of people don't realize is Linus and Claudia were Welsh. And they actually learn from the Apostle Paul, and they were later instrumental in helping others go to Wales with the gospel in the first century and the second century. And this is where the Welsh Baptists chart their history from, not from the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church came there later and slaughtered a bunch of the Welsh pastors and deacons because they would not accept the Pope's rule and would not baptize infants by sprinkling water on them. So the Welsh Baptists chart their history all the way down to the Apostle Paul through Linus and Claudia, who are actually the son and the daughter of King, I believe it's Caractacus, who was a Welsh king, king of the Britons, that had been taken sort of under house arrest in Rome. Pudens there was a Roman soldier who later became, I believe, a Roman senator. He married Claudia. And so Linus and Claudia were actually, that was a prince and a princess. They were royalty. And that's how they happened to be in Rome and to meet the Apostle Paul. And I actually have an article on our website, livewithpastoral.com, on the history of the Baptists, and I encourage people to take a look at that. Guy by the name of I believe it's John Davis, wrote a history of the Welsh Baptists that I used a number of material pieces from it. No relative that I know of, but my understanding is that I do have Welsh ancestry. So, but even if I don't, it's a spiritual ancestry where you can chart the Baptists. You know, Wycliffe, who started translating the Bible, the Lollards, Charles Spurgeon in the 1800s, pastoring the largest Baptist church in the world, the Metropolitan Baptist or Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, he referred to those that associated with the Wycliffe as the Lollards. If people remember that from history, they studied under him and they went out. They were referred to as Baptists by Charles Spurgeon in the 1800s, and of course, you know, they certainly were around well before the false teaching that Whitsitt promoted in the late 1800s, early 1900s, saying that Baptists were a relatively new group that arose in England in the 1600s and that there were no Baptists before that. Well, let's see, 1600s, we had the King James Bible in 1611, or, you know, and and he was that was preceded by the Geneva, which was preceded by several, all the way back to Tyndale, which was preceded by Wycliffe. Yeah, I think the Lollards as Baptists predated Whitsitt's false teaching that Baptists are of recent origin. But that's a whole other thing other than what you called about. I just stopped thinking about that. I was just reading some stuff on that recently, and you triggered my thoughts on that. But we're glad you called us tonight here. That's I know how you got started on that. You're talking about wearing green. But it's so I guess what I could say is if you're a Baptist, you can wear green, you can wear orange, you can wear pink with purple polka dots if you want. Doesn't matter as long as you bring a pie. No.
Exactly. But I was just so interesting about the Welsh Baptist because I'm part Welsh too. So I'm happy to hear that about Linus and Claudia.
Yeah.
But then also I was thinking about what you said, March 14th was the Pi Day.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're probably familiar with the Ides of March, March 15th.
Right. And Ides basically means the middle.
I took Latin, and one of the big sayings was, I guess Brutus was supposed to be planning to kill Julius Caesar, and he would say, "Beware the Ides of March." And my Latin teacher, she loved to say that in Latin about once a week. So I'm real familiar with the Ides of March, March 15th. But so getting back to my topic tonight,
yes.
It's a little bit unusual because it's sort of hard to relate this to the Bible, but it's just something in the current, very prominent and current events today. Everyone's talking about whether Trump and Biden will debate. And so we all know, those of us that, you know, aware of what's going on, that most of what comes out of President Biden's mouth is not exactly true. And so he breaks the commandments. So in keeping with that way of thinking, which is the way he operates and talks, this is how Biden can debate, because he doesn't do things ethically. He can, so he's breaking the, you know, some of the Ten Commandments. Biden can have a debate host that has all the questions planned out ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Biden is aware of, and the topics can be pre-listed, and he can have the note cards right with him what all the topics are going to be, so he'll be all prepared. I think that's one way that he actually could debate. I was thinking that there's no way that he could debate, but if he plans it out this way, or his handlers plan it out mm-hmm. this way, then he can actually debate Trump. Because, you know, when they have those debates that are handled by the opposition, you know, by the Democrats, they're all slanted toward one side, you know, toward the Democrats. So do you think that that might work out if Biden's handlers plan out a debate like that?
Well, I really do believe that if they agree to a debate, and I don't know how they can not agree to a debate. Personally, I think that, again, just opinion, no prophetic word from Pastor Al on the radio late night on Sunday night. My personal opinion, I think Biden will make it to the convention, and then there'll be some reason why he bows out. And I look at the convention, probably the superdelegates picking somebody. And again, my personal thought, I think they'll probably wind up going with somebody like Gavin Newsom myself. But in the last presidential election, they limited the number of debates. And it was mostly arranged to help Biden because he was having cognitive issues even then. I've had people try to tell me that they think that Joe Biden is faking having dementia, faking having mental issues, faking being old and frail. I said he must be the best actor in the world. The Oscars have nothing on him. Mm-hmm. He should be winning Oscars every year for his performance because he maintains it all the time. And my wife, who's worked with the elderly population for decades, she was a long-term care nurse for many years, and now she's a hospice nurse. And we've talked to other people in the medical profession that work with the elderly, and in particular people with dementia and things like that. And you just look at the way he walks, the way he acts, the way he reacts to things, and that particular type of shuffle that he has. These are all characteristics. Getting back to him, during COVID and the lockdowns and everything, they were able to limit the debates, and they were able to structure them in such a way that they were able to favor Biden. And I think a couple of them, I even remember, they actually correct the moderator would fact check Donald Trump, which he's not supposed to do in the first place,
right?
And answer for Biden. It was ridiculous.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
Yeah. Now, having said all of that, if Biden should go past the convention and be out there, unless they spring something on us this summer in order to kind of lock things down again, I don't know how they're going to avoid having debates. And look at it. You see him up there. And they just had a thing where he was reading the teleprompter and messing up so badly that his wife, Jill, was standing next to him looking obviously concerned. And just things like that happening all the time. Here comes Donald Trump out, and he speaks without notes for an hour or more to big groups of people, and he's not pumped full of a cocktail of drugs and everything to keep him on his feet. One guy in our church last year when we were talking about this, I think he pegged it pretty well. We were talking about how the Bible says that we're fighting against spiritual wickedness in high places, you know, and we look at that. When we think about that, and actually in Daniel chapter 10 talks about some of the what's going on behind the scenes with the holy angels and the fallen angels and the battle that's taking place. And you can see where we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, as I said, against spiritual wickedness in high places. One guy in our church last year said, how did he manage to stand there the whole time? And he said, maybe there's a little demonic effort going on there to empower him. Maybe it's a combination, you know, and actually pharmacopoeia, you know, pharmaceuticals, but it was also sorcerers used different things to put them in an altered mental state so that they could be more easily in touch with and conversant with and manipulated by what essentially amounts to fallen angels. And And so, you know, I'm sure the devil would rather have Joe Biden, you know, remain as president rather than Donald Trump, because Joe Biden is doing everything he can to move us into a global government and destroy the United States as a independent sovereign nation. And and so we see all that happening. But also, when you were talking about him, one of the first things that came to my mind is a passage in Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 13. It says, "Better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished." And looking at Biden in his State of the Union speech with his angry tone and angry face and angry gestures through the entire speech, and a number of the things that he did, I'm thinking, here's the old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. We'd be better off walking down the street when school lets out, pulling some child off the school bus and saying, "Guess what? You're the president." I think we'd do better than what we've got now.
Oh, absolutely. And to say about dealing with dementia patients. For about the last 10 years when I was working, I worked with people with dementia. I mean, they had fancy names for them, like memory support unit. Didn't say, you know, Alzheimer's unit, whatever. But he does follow exactly.
Yes. So you see it too.
Alzheimer's or just some form of dementia. Alzheimer's is just one.
Yeah, because there's a number of types of dementia.
He truly has it. For anybody to say that he's putting on an act is absolutely absurd. They haven't witnessed.
Secret Service agent on his State of the Union speech when he came down off the dais. There's a couple steps as he come down. Secret Service agent was over there and took him by the elbow to make sure he didn't fall.
Oh! I didn't notice.
Yeah.
But I was proud of him for not falling.
Well, he had a Secret Service agent there holding him up.
Okay, I didn't see that. I did see Chuck Schumer right behind him the whole time.
Yeah, he was pretty close.
25-minute entrance before he gave the speech. Schumer was right behind him, but he didn't seem to be holding him up or anything. But he was right there.
Yeah, in fact, he was late getting there because he was late leaving the White House, and then they had some Free Palestine protesters outside of the Capitol that they had to go around. But President Trump had a tweet out during that time, and he said, "He's late leaving the White House. Not good to be late for the State of the Union address. Hope he's got a good driver like Mario Andretti to get there fast."
that's pretty funny.
But, we need to pray for our country, that's for sure.
Yeah, I just hope and pray. You know, in a way, I hope that Biden is the candidate, because I think that he could be more easily defeated than, say, somebody like Newsom or Michelle Obama. You know, Michelle Obama, I don't think she really wants to run for president.
And I've heard that from several people, too.
And I think she would have more of a chance of winning than Biden would. So I personally hope that Biden is the candidate. But I wouldn't be surprised if they brought in Newsom or Michelle Obama, right? And who knows? They might even bring in Hillary. I mean, she's been dying to be president for like a century.
Oh, my. Yeah, even before the presidency, I think, at any rate. But, hey, Nancy, we're coming up on the break.
Thank you for addressing question.
No, and it's good, anybody watch that State of the Union address, we pray for our country. We really do.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And thank you so much.
Well, thank you for your call tonight. Appreciate it. Okay. And wear whatever you want on St. Patrick's Day. It really doesn't matter to me. I'm not a Catholic or a Protestant. Let's see, what would brown and orange or green and orange together makes brown, so wear brown, I guess.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thanks, Nancy. God bless. Appreciate the call. And you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We're going to take a break here in just a moment. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get to our callers after this short break here. And a little later in the program tonight, I'm planning on talking a little bit more about the State of the Union address and some observations that I had there. And so we'll save that a little bit for later on. And also an interesting hot mic moment that got Biden in a little hot water there. Not talking about when he referred to the illegals, which the left didn't care for when he was referring to that guy that killed, just slipped her mind here, Riley. But anyway, stay tuned. We've got another hour and a half to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call here tonight. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. If you go there, you can find out more about me, more about the program, and listen to past programs. You can listen to our Friday afternoon program. You can listen to both hours of our Sunday night program there, and we have recorded programs, so you can look and listen to them. Also, a number of other materials and articles and things there that I've written and a link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. Certainly invite you to come out and visit us. And we've had information on that, just had some, have some more here at the top of the hour at different times in the program. But just a reminder, we have a special program coming up. We have our annual Pi Day Fellowship coming up following the morning service 1 week from today, March 17th. And after our 11 o'clock service, probably about 12:30 or so, we'll have our pie fellowship. We have sloppy joes, we have pies, we have salad, different things like that. And it's just a good excuse to sit around and enjoy some fellowship with people after church. So certainly invite you to come out to that. Also want to mention, too, that not only is the Richfield Bible Baptist Church church that I pastor, but it's also the primary sponsor of the program here, Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And we're also sponsored by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. If you're anywhere in the area, it's well worth going to. And in fact, I have to confess, probably about 20 minutes or half hour before leaving to come to the radio tonight, I was enjoying a piece of East Coast Pizza pizza, and I always enjoy it whenever I get a chance to have it. Well, let me give you the information on East Coast Pizza. They're located in Garfield Heights at 4889 Turney Road. That's right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School at 4889 Turney Road. You can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100, and you'll enjoy the pizza. And I wanted to mention, because see, last Friday night at our Friday night Bible study, we had somebody who brought some of East Coast Pizza pizza to our Bible study, and it's kind of nice, getting kind of spoiled. We had it the week before that too. Somebody brought some then, and it just worked out that we had it 2 weeks in a row. We don't always have it. So if you come to our Friday night Bible study and you're expecting to have some of East Coast Pizza, let me just tell you, you're not always going to get it. But one of the things that's amazing is this was a piece of pizza that was left over from Friday night. That in and of itself is amazing, because usually you don't have much left over. I put it in the microwave. When it came out of the microwave, this is one of the things I love about East Coast Pizza. When you heat it up, it comes out not chewy and not hard. It comes out almost as if when it came out of the oven the first time. And according to Gus there at East Coast Pizza, he's the owner, he spent several months perfecting his dough recipe. And I just thought I'd share this here, because if you're a pizza person, I don't like the thin crust. I mean, I'll eat a thin crust, but I'm not really a big fan of the deep crust either. I like what East Coast Pizza has. They got that nice crust where you know you have a crust, and you know you have a little ridge there on the end to hold on to while you're eating it. And it's got just the right texture when you bite down on it. It's not too tough. It's not too chewy, but it's not brittle or crumbly or anything like that. I mean, I could smear pizza sauce on a cracker and enjoy a thin crust pizza, I guess, that way if I wanted to, with a hard, crispy crust. I like something where you know you have a tasty crust. And then sometimes you get a pizza and you try to reheat it or something, or you put it in the refrigerator or even in the freezer. When you reheat it, it comes out hard as a rock, or it becomes like shoe leather. And Gus told me one time that the secret is in the balance of the oils and fats that are used in making the crust. One part of it makes it more chewy. The other part makes it tend to get more hard. And he spent several months perfecting the balance of oils and fats, so he's got a crust that not only is wonderful when it comes out of the oven, but if you heat it up the next day in your microwave, like I said, it comes out of the microwave almost as good as when it came out of the oven in the first place, and that's unusual for pizza. Check out East Coast Pizza, 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School in Garfield Heights, Ohio. Call them 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. You will enjoy it. All right, now we'll get back to our program. I guess, you know, just thinking about all that pizza, I almost brought a piece in. I thought, man, I could eat it on the air, so you could hear how good it is. But didn't think that worked too well. Anyway, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Terry who's waiting patiently for us. And Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening, once again.
Good evening. Hey, Terry, I got to tell you, I was at the Bringing America Back to Life program or convention in here in Independence, just down the road from where the station is. And they had one of your countrymen there, Pastor Arthur Pulowski from Calgary, was there. And my wife and I were able to get a picture with him. But, he has been through a lot. But anyway, good to have you with us tonight.
Thank you. There's a lot to say there. I've been listening to your. I was going to mention the State of the Union. I watch it every time. And time.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching the State of the Union for years.
Right.
I've always been interested in knowing what's going on with your country. Eh?
Well, it has an effect. That's for sure. Yeah, I was going to say, if I remember correctly, I think Canada is the largest trading partner for the United States and vice versa.
Yeah, we got China, too.
Well, now they're taking over everybody.
Yeah, but, anything ever happens with Taiwan, that could cause a lot of problems.
Yeah, I don't know about Prime Minister Trudeau, but I certainly know Joe Biden down here seems to be doing everything he can to favor China and to help them out.
By giving them Taiwan,
huh? Oh, yeah. What hasn't he given them other than Taiwan yet, I guess?
Yeah, that is quite the speech, but you're going to talk about it at the end of the hour.
Yeah, I'll be talking about that later on, probably in the next hour. So.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of things. I just shook my head.
Wow. Yeah, it's amazing. I'll save that for later. So.
Yeah, kept on my eye on the speaker of the house, and he kept on shaking his head.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last week I kind of went a little ahead of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Questions, but yeah, that one question I brought up was about marriage in the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no marriage in the temple. There never was. Or where did the Jews get married?
I think a lot of times they got married probably in their homes. I imagine when they had synagogues built, they probably had that too. You know, the synagogue basically be a place where they gathered. But a lot of times it was in their homes when you think about it, because they would have all the celebration. Remember when Jesus, here's a good clue, go over to John, Gospel of John, and let's go to chapter number... what is it? Chapter number 3, I think, or is it chapter 2? Yeah, chapter 2. That's right. John chapter 2, and it starts out in verse 1. In the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of purifying of the Jews, contained 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine when men have well drunk than that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. Verse 11, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. I read through that because when you read through that, this doesn't sound like it's in like a synagogue type setting. This sounds like it's in somebody's house. And remember, the houses weren't just like a 3-bedroom bungalow or something. This is...
Caiaphas, right? Caiaphas was the leader, right?
It doesn't say the head here is, but they were people who obviously were friends of Jesus' family, because Mary's there. By this time, Joseph is gone, Jesus is the eldest son in the home. He's got several brothers and at least a couple of sisters. And so Jesus is now the head of the family as the eldest male child. And so he is there with he's called by by Mary to go to this this wedding feast that the family is going to. And while they're there, you can see the situation, but it talks about the servants, and it talks about how the water pots were set aside, you know, a special place for purifying and all these sorts of, a lot of the stuff here indicates that they're in somebody's home where people were gathering rather than in like a synagogue or something. So this would be a good indication to answer your question where the marriage is taking place. So,
you know, a whole religion started over these, you know, the Mormons built these great big huge temples. And
that's right. For our listeners that might not have heard last week, you're talking about the Mormon temples, and they try to say that the Mormon temple is just like Solomon's temple, you know, in terms of what happens. But yeah, they didn't perform ornate ceremonies in, you know, baptisms for the dead in Solomon's temple and being entered into eternal marriages in Solomon's temple. And the Mormon temples don't have any animal sacrifices taken in place in them, much less the sacrifice being burnt on an altar in the temple and the ashes being poured out and this, that, and the other. So they're nothing like the temple that is in the Bible. Nothing like, they say it is, but it's nothing like it. It doesn't take much to tell.
If it was, they'd all be dead.
Yeah. You know, and in fact, I remember somebody, I reading a thing of somebody, and he said that they were going to dedicate a Mormon temple, and if you're not Mormon, you can't go in after they're dedicated. But before they're dedicated, sometimes they'll have like tours and all. And he got asked to leave the tour because he was on the tour, and they were and the tour guide saying, "Oh, this is just like the Temple of Solomon. This is just like the temple that Jesus went into." And he said, "Oh, that's neat. Where do they keep the animals? Where do they pour out the ashes? Where's the altar of burnt sacrifice?" And finally,
where's the high priest?
Yeah. Well, finally, asked him to leave because, you know, obvious, it's not the same. It's not the same at all. But no, you can get into the holy place in the Mormon tabernacle if you're wearing, and I am not making this up and making a joke, if you're wearing the special underwear.
Right.
And when we were in the Samoan Islands, a very high Mormon population where we were at, you would see this stuff hanging out on the line on wash day. And, you know, it was, and I went over, my wife and I went over to Western Samoa one time, and we got off the airplane. There was a group of people from the States that were visiting some Mormon church or whatever in American Samoa, and they wanted to go over to the Mormon temple in Western Samoa. And so they flew over there, and of course you got to go through customs, and you're flying over on a little two-engine prop airplane, and twin otters, what they called them. And so you only have limited place for luggage and all that, and they, if you don't carry it on with you, they kind of throw it in some pods and stuff and under your feet and all. And they open up his case for the customs, because Western Samoa just goes by the name of Samoa now. They dropped the Western, but it's an independent country, and so they had customs. And they open it up, and they go through his bag, and the guy realizes that his special underwear that he needs to go into the temple wasn't there. And I'm standing there. I kind of felt bad for the guy, because he had come all the way from the States, you know, thousands of miles to the Samoan Islands, and he wanted to visit this temple. You know, I imagine sometimes they want to check off, I visited the temple here. It's kind of like, you know, people have, I've got a, you know, shirt from such and such. And he starts like, "Oh, I can't believe they're not here. I don't know where they went." And he's just like freaking out because he didn't have this. He says, and I'm trying to say this without making too much light of it. He's like, "I can't go to the temple because I don't have my underwear." Okay. That's it's just where they were at, and I guess it's not something that you can say, well, just go to the store and buy, you know, another pair or borrow somebody else's, because it's right. Like consecrated or something. I forget what they do to it, but it's special. And that's how, you know, I remember the high priest, he had to make the sacrifice and offer the incense and fill the Holy of Holies with smoke from the incense burning before he could go in, or he'd be struck dead. Well, this is what keeps you and allows you to be able to go in, I guess, so that you're not struck dead. So, anyway.
Yeah, and the underwear is considered helps keep the evil away from them.
Yeah, and it used to be... And I know from experience in Samoa and the Samoan Islands, they do take it off and hang it up and wash it, hang it up on line to dry. But it used to be in the past, they were not allowed to take it off completely. So the way that they would wash it is they would take off everything except for one arm. So one arm would be inside of it still. Because at one point, and it's not so much now, but at one point it literally went from your elbows to your knees. And so you would take off all but your arm, wash the garment, and then you could, after it dried, you put it on the rest of it. And then, of course, you could take your arm out of the sleeve that wasn't washed, and then you could wash that and then let it dry and then put your arm back in the sleeve. So you never took it off, technically. So.
Yeah, there's another way that they can't get in there. They have to have a secret name.
Yeah.
They give them a secret name in the temple.
Yeah. And when you get married in the temple, now you're married for all eternity.
Right. And then down the road, you'll get your own planet, your own earth, and you'll become gods and your own gods and all
that. And, of course, all of that is in direct contradiction to the clear word of God, which, let me just flip over there into Isaiah chapter, well, let's go to chapter 44, I think it is. Let me take a look here. Chapter 44, Isaiah chapter 44, where Jehovah God says this in verse 6, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. In verse 8, he says, is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. And then in chapter 45 and verse 5, I am the Lord, there is none else, there is no God beside me. And then in chapter 45, verse 18, the end of verse 18, I am the Lord and there is none else. The end of verse 21, there is no God beside me, a just God, a Savior. There is none beside me. The end of verse 22, for I am God and there is none else. You know, it almost sounds like God's trying to get us to see that there are no other gods. Here's the chapter 46 and the end of verse 9. For I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. And, you know, we see this over and over and over here in this portion of the scriptures here. And, you know, there's no God beside him. There is no God before him, and God knows of no other gods. And in Mormonism, and people say, well, you're just making fun of Mormons. Well, it's a false religion that needs to be warned against. In Mormonism, they have a saying, as man is, God once was, and as God is, man can become, which means you're going to become eventually a god. And that is simply not possible. If Jehovah God of the Bible was once a man that worshiped another god on another planet, and he was faithful and he became a god, well, he would certainly know of at least one other god. He would know the god that he worshiped when he was on, I think the planet was Cobalt. And then he would also know that some of his buddies that made it to their temple had also become gods of their own worlds. So, you know, it wouldn't have been just Jehovah God. He would have known of the god Fred and the god, you know, Franklin and the god, you know, Andrew and the god whatever, you know, because there would have been a multiplicity of gods. And he says, there's no god beside me. I know of no other God. Elsewhere he says there was no God before him and no God after him. And that's, you know, that throws out that whole thing that as God is, man can become, because that says you'll become a God. Well, you can't if there's no God formed after him. And also, if there was no gods formed before him, then how could God have once been a man who became a god? Because he worshipped another god that was once a man that became a god, who had once worshipped another god who was once a man who had become a god, who once worshipped another god who was once a man. You see how I say it? And how far back do you go?
On and on. Yeah.
Yeah. It's never ending, and it's a false teaching. But I do know some place in the Bible that does say that you can be a god, and it's found in Genesis chapter number 3, where Satan, in the guise of the serpent, said, "Yeah, what?" said, "Ye shall be," in verse 5, "ye shall be as gods." Wow. And you know what? That's the same thing he's telling people today. People who are caught up in the New Age sort of stuff and some of these things, they think that they're going to eventually reach some sort of godhead. Or not godhead, but god-likeness. They're going to reach some kind of god status. People involved in reincarnation and all that think that eventually they'll be merged into the divine, and on and on it goes. People think they're going to become gods. The devil tells them that they're going to become gods, and these false religions tell them that they're going to be gods. And you read in Isaiah, and God says, I don't know of any other gods. I don't know of any gods formed before me. I don't know any gods formed after me. I don't know of any gods that exist simultaneously with me. There is no other God beside the God of Isaiah. But then people say, well, what about the Bible calls people gods? It's in a reference to people who have authority over people. Just like when I rented before I had my own house, I rented from a landlord because he had sovereignty over the house. He had ultimately the say over what could be done in that house because it was his. And so the Bible sometimes refers to things like magistrates, judges, things like that as gods because they exercise sovereignty. Yes, they exercise sovereignty, the ability, for instance, to exercise capital punishment and things like make decisions that can change people's lives. And so it's not a reference to deity. It's a reference to sovereignty that they have over them. The devil is called the god of this world. And so when God says that I don't know of any other god beside me, he's not contradicting. It's when he says the devil's the god of this world, he's not a deity, he has sovereignty. But it's under the overall sovereignty of God. He can only go so far. Hey, Terry, we're coming up on the end here of this segment. But, again, good topic to bring up. Thank you for that. I'm sure we'll talk next week. But stay tuned. We got another hour to go tonight. In 1776, a band of American patriots, many of them devout Christians, put King George and the British Empire on notice. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Bold words. Today we face another battle for our rights. Powerful forces are arrayed against us. We face spiritual wickedness in high places. Where are the American patriots willing to put the enemies of liberty on notice? Where are the pastors willing to stand alongside saying, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand? This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. It's time to put on the armor of God and stand.